Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who I'm very excited to speak with. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hi, my name's Rosa Escondone, and I guess I'm a drag race expert.
Fantastic.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
Fantastic. I have been a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race since season two. And one of my favorite things about RuPaul's Drag Race is how much it's grown since then. One of my favorite things was just the development of how it's moved from Bravo to VH1 to MTV as this cultural mainstay in America, but also spinoffs around the world. It truly is a franchise. And you can think of it in some ways, these other countries, as the McDonald's franchises of RuPaul's Drag Race, because they're able to try out new games or competitions or structural things that then they can bring to America, the main chain, so to speak. But that does come with some issues. Like, for instance, in the British Drag Race, they had a baked bean challenge, which notoriously got them into some hot water, no pun intended, because the baked beans were freezing. They had an 8-hour shoot. They were shooting in the winter time. And basically the idea was like a baked bean challenge where the queens would be all done up and then they would have to do kind of like the photo shoots they do often in the first episodes, but they were going to be in a thing of baked beans, and the poses were good, but it was really hard on the queens. So I don't think that we're going to see like a baked beans or like a refried beans or any bean related content anytime soon, just because they want to distance themselves from that experience. And then another aspect of Drag Race in the future, where's Drag Race going to go? Is Drag Race going to stagnate of just being in franchises around the world, or are they going to try and spin off into new ideas? And I've recently learned of some new Drag Race spinoffs that they're planning. For instance, there's Straight Drag Race, which is very similar to like the Worst Cooks in America and on the Food Network, where you're going to get a bunch of straight men and they're going to try and do drag. And similar to some of the competitions that they would do, is they would bring in straight men and like give them a glow up or what have you. But it's going to be a whole season of just straight men trying to learn how to do drag. And then there's also going to be kind of the Food Networkification of Drag Race. So there's going to be Chopped, where it's simple, self-contained episodes, four queens, three different competitions. Somebody's going to get eliminated. There's going to be curveballs thrown in. And then there's going to be Drag Race Grudge Match, where you're going to get two queens that have a grudge. Maybe it's a local scene. Probably initially they're going to do some queens that have been on Drag Race before. And then they're going to be like, okay, we're going to squash this beef, but they're going to have, similar to the cooking show, they're going to have these really big, extravagant competitions that they have to go through. So whether it's a lip sync battle, whether it's a fashion show, whether it is just high camp, it's just going to be these self-contained encapsulations. And the ultimate goal is to have a Drag Race network, similar to the Food Network. It's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be RuPaul TV or if it's going to be Drag Race TV or something like that. But basically the goal is start as a Bravo program, move to all of these different networks, get all of these syndication, all of these franchises, and create this monolith of money that you can also swoop back in, buy Bravo, and create this Drag Race network. And I think that that's just going to be an absolutely beautiful thing, something that's going to be happening in the next 4 to 5 years. And I think the world is going to be a better place because of the drag raceification of our current society. And now, Rosa, based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
Oh, God. If I was going to say, first off, I feel like I need to give you a boot for accuracy. This one's a boot for me.
Okay.
There were some moments there that I think you got close to something, but I don't think the the beans thing happened.
Okay.
So that's, I didn't know that it was super cold beans, but beans were involved to some extent, I believe, in a challenge. Yeah, I'm going to give you a D. That D stands for drag you, which I think you got kind of close to.
Okay.
So and in that spirit, I do think I'm going to have to drag you for butchering a lot of this. Your first mistake comes in literally, I think, your first sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Where you say that this was on Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said it again at the end. No, right? So first off, I just have to pause you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was on Logo TV.
Oh, that's right. That's
it was
right.
On Logo TV. And I want to talk a little bit, I guess, about Logo TV, if I can.
Yeah,
can
absolutely. I? Yeah, no, okay. I think that'll be very informative.
Okay, good. Because there's kind of two eras when it comes to Drag Race. The first era goes from around 2009 to, I believe, 2016, which is the Logo TV era. Now, this is when Drag Race was only shown on Logo TV and a couple of online ways to watch it, too. Now, if you're not familiar with Logo TV, this was the gay or the lesbian and gay network, Logo TV. And so they... Unfortunately, they had a couple of shows. Drag Race was certainly their biggest show, at least by season like three, I would say. The first two seasons of Drag Race were very, very low budget. And while I think like Drag Race, like later bandwagon Drag Race fans could understand a lot of season two, season one almost feels like a completely different show. Mm-hmm. It does not look or feel really even that related to Drag Race. Two, we start to get kind of the setup that we've seen for later seasons. And I think three, it's really found its footing. However, through, I believe, season eight, it was on Logo TV. Now, season nine, it changes to VH1 and then MTV. We get...
Okay.
So from 2017 to now, we just started season 16 last night. So I think a lot of people came on to watching Drag Race in like kind of, I would say like in season seven, a lot of people started like, ooh, what's this like deep channel package, right? Ooh, they have this thing that like is getting a lot of buzz online. And then Logo and the production company, which made Drag Race World of Wonder, moved some things around and obviously moved it onto a different cable network. So originally VH1 and then MTV, which are, of course, under the same parent company. You don't really see any big of a difference between the VH1 and MTV years. But I would say that there is a difference of like people who were watching it in the Logo years versus some of the newer fans, just because I think the access to Drag Race has gone way easier.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely has become much easier.
Yeah. And also, you know, Logo was great, but like Logo pretty much showed old episodes of Queer as Folk with the sex scenes cut out, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They had like one or two other shows. There was a gay bachelor type show at one point. There was Noah's Ark. There's a couple other shows that were like, I think, exclusive to Logo TV, but a lot of them would just like show like gay rom-coms and like gay movies, especially like pretty deep cut gay movies. I know this is a little bit of a tangent from Drag Race, but I want to give people the feeling who weren't there in the Logo years, like what Drag Race was against in programming blocks, which oftentimes would be like, I don't know, like Mambo Italiano, a gay rom-com from 2000, edited, and then a bunch of no sex scene, the L words. So like, this was like not a great channel. I love it. They had a couple other, they tried to get into a couple other programming. They had an SNL ripoff that was called The Big Gay Sketch Show.
Right.
It featured a very young Kate McKinnon. Other than that, there's a few notable Logo shows. Drag Race really was the only one that I think was making any money for the channel for a long time. And then, of course, its move to VH1. Honestly, some fans were kind of mad about it, seeing this thing that was like made for and by gay people moving to VH1 and then MTV. Though I think by the time it got to VH1 or MTV, it was such a cultural juggernaut that this wasn't going to like stay just on like a deep package cable channel. And I think people know that on some deeper level in their hearts. You had also a couple of interesting things to say about spinoffs of Drag Race. There have been some spinoffs of Drag Race. So I'll give you a C for charisma. uniqueness of the talent. And give you a C for that, because there are Drag Race spinoffs. However, I don't believe any of them. You had some close. Straight Drag Race is kind of like Secret Celebrity Drag Race. There has been exactly one cis-identified straight queen. I don't know how to... One cis straight boy on all of the Drag Race franchises with Maddie Morphosis. She was a recent queen. Mm. She has a podcast called Give It To Me Straight and is, I believe, the only out straight cis straight to have competed on Drag Race. But Straight Drag Race, there's a couple of things that I think could also be Straight Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
Secret Celebrity is where drag queens put people in, like, minor celebrities in drag. It's pretty bad. I find it almost, it's pretty bad, but I believe there's two seasons of it. I'm not a huge fan and thus don't watch it. But also, like, many of the celebrities are queer, so that's maybe not even Straight Drag Race. I think also it behooves me to talk about Drag U, which I believe ran from around, like, 2011 to 2014. Don't quote me exactly on those years, but it came up in the early seasons of Drag Race, so it must have been like a companion to like season 2 or 3. And Drag U was makeovers for people who aren't, like, just regular people who aren't drag queens, so that they get like the nerve of a drag queen, like, oh, I was unconfident and now I'm confident because of Drag U.
Mm-hmm.
People make a lot of jokes that Drag U was really bad, and like, it was not great, but I do think that like if it was brought back, some people would really like it if it had like the budget and the time of like something a little bit like, I think it could be a real queer as folk, or not queer as folk, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, or
mm-hmm.
Queer Eye, like, almost vibe, where it's like, oh yeah, like drag is more important than ever and it's like all about confidence. But I don't think that one's going to come back, just because I don't think there's a lot of fans of Drag U anymore now.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something called Grudge Match, not a thing.
That's too bad.
Too bad. However, there is All Stars, and All Stars mm-hmm. is obviously where queens come back. And definitely there has been some like iconic grudges that get reopened during a Grudge Match. I think the biggest one is probably Coco versus Alyssa, which mm-hmm. comes, I believe, in season 5 and All Stars 2 or 3. Now I'm forgetting which ones they were on. But obviously they bring back some people. I think there's also in All Stars, right, which is when they bring back former queens to compete again. They did an all winners season of Drag Race All Stars recently, which was also kind of like you know, like keep your crown up, like, you know, kind of like, which I wouldn't really call that a grudge match. That was actually a very tame season because everyone already had won.
Mm-hmm.
But All-Stars sometimes can have a little bit of a grudge going on, especially if they have people that they had issues from on their season. Though I think the narrative we hear more is queens who have something to prove.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like people who were kind of like taken off too early. I think the most iconic of the like girls who had something to prove is honestly Shea Coulee, who mm-hmm. came on All Stars because everyone thought she was going to win season 9, but due to a like late in the game insane lip sync. If you know one thing about Drag Race, you know about this lip sync mm-hmm. between her and the reigning queen of season 9, Sasha Velour, where Sasha Velour took off her own wig and a bunch of flowers came out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, Shea Coulee went on record after that being like, I thought it was mine to lose and I lost it. Like, she took this very, they're friends in real life, so I don't think there was any malice against like Sasha herself, but like Shay really did have a moment where she's like, I can't believe I lost this. So her All-Stars redemption arc is very like, oh my god, like I thought I was gonna win the first time. And I think that one is probably the more like the one we've seen more of, like someone has some fight to give. That's probably like the most direct one because it was like a 1 minute mistake. But you sometimes get some like, you do sometimes get grudges on All Stars. I don't, a lot of them, I have to say, and this is actually a big critique of the show in the VH1 era to me, is Drag Race has some of the worst fans of anything, right?
Okay.
And I say this as a fan. We have a very toxic fandom online, and I don't exactly know if it's just because like gays are bitchy. I honestly don't even think it's all of our gay members who are like the worst people in this, but it has a real, people really like, if they don't like the queens, like it's like death threat level. It is like doxing level. Like you have to be kind of hard these days to go on Drag Race, because a lot of the fans, and I think it's getting better. I think there was actually kind of a, I think around like season maybe like 12 or 13, this was probably at its worst. I do think we're getting better at this, but the fans of Drag Race are real rabid and a lot of them are extremely online, and this can cause some issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in early years of the show, we get some really iconic fights. I mentioned season 5's Alyssa versus Coco. That was a fight that they brought from a pageant that mm-hmm. Coco stole Alyssa's crown from, like, before the series started. I also liked in the early seasons, so much more of, like, the drag universe outside of the show really
definitely comes
it.
In.
Like, yeah, like, these people know each other from, like, you know, like, from pageants, from, like, working together, right? Like, from, like, being in this big drag ecosystem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we see that a lot in early seasons where people also even can come in with their own grudges against people. Alyssa and Coco's probably like the most iconic, Coco Montrese and Alyssa mm-hmm. Edwards. But we see a lot of fights in early seasons. People are not afraid to fight. People are not afraid to call each other out. A popular meme even arises, which is the everyone against blank. If you search this online, you'll find a bunch of RuPaul's Drag Race videos where it's like, you know, everyone against Mimi, I'm first, right? Like, everyone mm-hmm. against Serena Cha-Cha, where just they would pile on to each other and just, like, rip them to shreds. And this happened a lot. I think after season 7-ish, we see less of this. Probably even season 6. We see less of this because the fans start hating if you're seen as a villain, right? People start to get really afraid of the villain edit. Mm-hmm. And I think we're starting to see villains come back, which I love because I love a villain. I want to stand the villain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's pushes the drama forward, you know?
Yeah. And if no one's here to fight, like, it can get a little boring. If it's all kumbaya and hugs and no one's going to say anything mean to each other, even when, like, maybe some people deserve it. Like, that's, there are obviously other iconic things that can happen on a drag race. I have, like, so many of my favorite drag race moments. So, like, it doesn't need to be a fight, but I do think that there should be a little bit of drama on a season. As it has been said, this is not RuPaul's best friend race. You're not here to make all your best friends. And because of that, I do want to see, I would like to see more fighting. And I think we're in the era that it's going to happen, which I'm very excited. Candy Muse reopened the floodgates on Is It Okay to Fight on Drag Race? And I think we're going to see it.
That's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see where they take it. If you were going to talk to somebody that had never seen Drag Race before and they were interested in watching it, but they didn't know too much, how would you kind of recommend it to them?
So this is actually interesting because it's not that much of a, I actually had a friend who, we actually have a friend, you also know her, who mm-hmm. recently started watching Drag Race for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of recommended some of these things to her. So this works. She loves it now. Mm-hmm. So I would say the first thing is don't worry too much about the lore if you're not a drag fan. I think Drag Race is a great tool to get people interested in drag more generally. I think mm-hmm. a big issue with the fan base is there are drag fans like myself. Like, I'm someone who loves live drag. I like my local scene. I have seen a lot of drag that queens who will never be on Drag Race. I had a drag queen at my wedding. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a mm-hmm. drag fan. Other people are drag race fans, where they are not people who, like, really look out for, like, local queens or, like, what's happening outside of Drag Race. It's very, like, Drag Race specific.
Right.
And those are kind of, I do think that we don't really have, like, the show had to get big to even get those people. So those people usually started watching, I would say, like, after season, like, 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. We didn't, early seasons of the show really didn't have this problem. And so because of that, early seasons of the show don't explain, like, anything. Like, the whole, like, Alyssa and Coco fight, like, they're like, yeah, one of them stole a pageant crown from each other. And if you're sitting there thinking, like, what the fuck's a drag pageant? Then you're gonna have a bad time, right?
Right. You're not fully aware of what's going on at that point.
Yeah. And so I would say the way to start Drag Race is to start on a slightly later season. I wouldn't do a super late season. I would start probably, like, I would probably start on, like, season 8 or season 7 too. I don't know. So 7, 8, I think 9's okay, but 9 is, like, 9, you get a little bit into RuPaul's best friends race. So mm-hmm. you'll get a little less drama there. I think season 5 is actually also a pretty good starting point. But there's a couple seasons that I think are easier to get into. And it kind of depends on what you want. And I'm not saying to, like, look out for spoilers. But a lot of times, like, if you like the queen that wins, it'll be a great, or gets really far, you'll have a really good time. So if you know any queens that you like outside of it, like our friend who started watching Drag Race, I believe started on Trixie and Katia's season.
Mm-hmm. That's a great season.
Because I think it's seven, six or seven. I think it's seven. She started there because she had already watched or like their podcast. Sorry, I mispronounced it. And because of that, she was like, okay, I know these two queens. Neither of that, spoilers, neither of them get out that far, but they do come back. Both of them do come back for All Stars. But starting with a queen that you know is going to be more exciting for you. So like, if you know any queen from any season, I actually think sometimes that's the best way to start. So like, even if that's a later season, even if, you know, you were at drag brunch and you saw, I don't know, you saw Candy Muse live here in New York, start on her season. It's fine. It's a late season, so it's not going to be like the one that I think is like maybe the best, but the excitement of like knowing someone and seeing them and being able to follow them, it will help you get into the show. And honestly, once you've seen like two seasons, you can watch any of these. It'll be the brain worm, you know, that you're like, okay, I get what this is now.
Right. It fully encompasses itself by, you know, just having that introductory of, you know, that little bit of background. And then it's like, you're just fully immersed.
Yeah. There's an iconic moment on Derek Barry's season where she thinks people died at the Stonewall riots. So like, also just know that a bunch of the queens are dumber than you'll be coming in.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, do you not know about that iconic moment?
Oh, no.
People who died at Stonewall?
I mean, what season was that? Do you know?
Derek Barry is what, season eight, I think?
Okay, that's right around when I stopped watching originally. So I may have seen it, but I may have just been so shocked by the level of inaccuracy that I was like, I gotta pull out of the show now.
Just because they're on TV does not mean these people always know more about like about queer history or like some of the things that they reference. Many do, but I think sometimes you come in and you're like, oh my god, I need to know everything about like the art form of drag and like queer history and all that. You certainly don't. It's not that kind of show, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
You should learn those things.
But, you know, don't take Drag Race as a primary source.
No, Drag Race is like our stupid fun thing, right? Like some people think that it's, and I understand that it's important. And one of my best friends, I was watching Drag Race in college and he came in and watched it with me. And he told me that his parents loved Drag Race.
Oh, wow.
And I was kind of surprised because like he was from Guyana and like his parents were like, he grew up in the South. His parents were like immigrants to like North Carolina. Right. And I always thought this was like a kind of, I was like, huh. And like his parents are like religious and stuff too. And I was always like, what an interesting choice to like, and I asked him about it and he said, oh my God, well, my mom is always saying like, there's no African people on TV. There's no African American people on TV. And like, I do sometimes think what Drag Race has done is like representation, honestly. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, this straight conservative older couple like this, right? Because they were seeing something that they were not seeing reflected in other parts of television at the time, right?
Right.
And I think in some ways, like that's Drag Race's legacy early on, like that one in the first season, one of the queens comes out about having HIV, right? That was something mm-hmm. I hadn't like seen on like mainstream TV. In more recent seasons, we've definitely, early seasons have a real issue with transphobia, though in later yeah. seasons, there is like a lot more representation. I mean, Drag Race Canada, there's a lot to talk about. I didn't even go into the other, the world of Drag Race. Yeah, but Drag Race Canada is in its fourth season right now, and they both have a trans man and trans woman in the competition. Mm-hmm. And like, I do think that they've gotten a lot better. They also have someone who's Two-Spirit from the Métis Nation. So like, they're obviously trying to like put up people with different approaches to gender, which I think is really great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think like in a lot of ways, representation is is the thing that we should take away from Drag Race, but it did take them, like, I don't know, like, sometimes, like, 15 seasons and, like, 10 in other countries to, like, get to a place where now we're like, oh, wow. But even in those early seasons, I know, like, my friend's parents were watching because season one winner Bibi Zahara Bonet was, like, showing Black excellence. And I do have to, like, kind of give it up for that as a franchise.
Absolutely. Rosa, this has been so insightful, and I really appreciate all your corrections and your insight. If people wanted to learn more about Drag Race, or they wanted to learn more about you, where would you recommend that they go?
About Drag Race. Funny. I don't know. Watch it. There's too much content. There's too many seasons. No one's going to watch Germany or Sweden or whatever is the new one this year. Find out more about me. You can check out my website. It's rosescondone.com, or hit me up on TikTok. That's where I'm bizarrely most active. And that's at Human Comedian, which is the same as all of my socials.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Yeah. Follow me on YouTube. I'm doing YouTubes now. Maybe I'll do a Drag Race one. If enough people want me, I'll do some long form YouTubing on Drag Race, but hit me up on YouTube. It's also at Human Comedian, I believe.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Rosa. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Matt, for Matt splaining me.
My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt Splaining. Quick shout out to Ryan Lawson, who made the theme music for Matt Splaining. He's part of Beat Blender Studios, which can be found at Beat Blender Studios on Instagram and TikTok. Or if you're in the market for some amazing music, you can contact him directly at beatblenderstudios@gmail.com.